from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And I'd like to wish everybody a very late Halloween... I don't even... Is it a celebration to wish people well on?
Just say Happy Halloween,
all
man.
Right, fine. Happy Halloween. Late. But to be fair, technically, today is still part of the whole ceremony that centers around Halloween. And we're going to have a show that's going to be about that because there's lots of really interesting little details I think you guys are going to love because it's all religion.
It's not just for kids getting candy and parents getting drunk.
No, it's not just for that. So we'll talk about the history of Halloween. And the other thing we're going to be talking about is satanic cults. Remember how last bonus show we asked some people, would you guys like to hear about Satanism? And although only one person said yes, I was like, see? That was the only person that responded, so you get it. I asked the question, someone said yes. It takes fucking one person.
Well,
really,
so
literally, it does.
In the future, people should say no. Like, send in your no's, otherwise one person will say yes, and you'll still have to sit through it?
Pretty much, yeah. We're moving in a positive direction, so we like yeses all the time.
I was going to start holding you hostage. You got to go to the website and vote on the topic, otherwise we'll go really left. Just weird stuff.
Just the weirdest. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about satanic cults, and all of this brought on by a series of videos that I was showing Ryan, which we'll also mention. But first, before we start, it is the beginning of November, which if you've gone to the site, you've seen my awful picture of my disgusting facial hair, the handlebar mustache, the thing that has to be there for the entire month of November as I try to raise money to fight prostate cancer. And, you know, here's the cool thing about... that. I was doing a lot more research into what they want to do specifically with the money, mm-hmm. and this is what I like about them. They want to sequence the genome of prostate cancer. You know, like they want to study it specifically, and that's what the money is going to do.
To sequence
some pretty fucking awesome science right there.
The sequencing bill.
Exactly, the sequencing bill. So it's they realized that last time this isn't the first year. I think last year it raised like something like $15 or $20 million. For research, so it's a pretty impressive campaign mm-hmm. when you think about it. And they had that hot chick from The Watchmen, Malin Ackerman.
What was her character in The Watchmen? Which one was she?
She was Miss Jupiter. She was the main character.
Yeah,
she's the one where actually you know
she was the one that bangs in like the bat flying thingamajig.
The owl flying owl things. Yeah, she's in that scene. And if you want to know what she looks like naked but younger, she's also in a brief scene in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah, she was the weirdo guy's
wife.
That's
right, that's
right. The one that wanted the orgy.
The one that wanted the orgy.
Yeah.
So, any of you interested in that, go check it out.
Any of you boob watchers.
Boob watchers.
Are you a boob watcher? For I am one. Go watch that movie for the boobs.
We have many fans who are not boob watchers who would say, who and who cares? And speaking of that, I do want to say, okay, first of all, the picture that I put up is not necessarily the best one. I'm going to put another one up. I just kind of rushing it. I didn't want to not mention it. And meanwhile, we don't have really good photography equipment.
It's just a bad, there's no other excuse than you put up a bad photo.
I put up a bad photo. And I'm cool with it to some degree because from then on, the photos will only improve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm going with that.
I like it.
And so anybody who wants to check out this horrible photo, go to the website. And if you're interested in donating, I'm talking like tiny donations. It doesn't have to be much. You can put like a dollar or whatever. I don't care. It's whatever you guys want to give. If you think it's important cause and if you kind of like the whole fact that it's going specifically towards something science-y.
Specifically science-y and not just in a general, it's for awareness.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's good. The campaign in Movember itself kind of does that raising awareness part for it, which is what I really appreciate about the campaign. I like anything that's sleek and smart, and this is. Unfortunately, you get itchy face. So, you know, even if you don't want to donate money, you can also Just grow one yourself and give it a shot. Why the hell not? It's just that is the part you can do, and dudes, and maybe some girl with high testosterone levels. Okay, all right, enough about my stupid mustache. Let's move on. Okay, I showed you a movie or a series of movie today of, that you've never heard about. I did a show previously with Jeff about one of them.
About Jeremiah Films.
The Jeremiah Films. So those were a series of videos that were produced in the 90s, these evangelical movies. And we watched two of them. We watched the one on Mormonism.
The Mormon Conspiracy.
The Mormon Conspiracy. And then we watched the one on Halloween.
What was the name of the one on Halloween? It had a great name to it. Let me just... The Pagan Invasion.
The Pagan
Halloween
Invasion. Yeah.
Trick or Treat.
Well, it's part of a series because the whole Pagan Invasion thing has multiple parts. Halloween is just one of those.
One of the episodes.
One of the episodes. Mm. But specifically that one on Halloween really kind of tried to focus more on explaining what the history of Halloween was. And I decided that I needed to check to see what their facts were as well, because the funny thing about these videos is that they will always hide a lie in between two truths.
Oh, like a truth sandwich with a slice of lie in the middle.
Big gigantic piece of shit right in the middle, so you don't even notice. I'll give you a common example. All right, they were talking about the Celtic tradition behind Halloween, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. But they mentioned something specifically about bonfires. All right. Mm-hmm. And in and around the time of the Celtic tradition that inspired it, people would basically, in and around Halloween is when you would slaughter your cattle, right? There would be a lot of animal killing at that time, so they would take the bones and bring them over to the bonfire to burn them as part of the whole pyre thing going for this festival of the end of summer, basically, is what it was. And meanwhile, the film version says there were live sacrifices and human beings being sacrificed. You're
thrown
just like,
into
what?
These bone fires.
Exactly. So although they were accurate in terms of describing the events, they were just adding their own little fear-mongering, which was you could always tell that they were trying to do. Like, it's very clever. I appreciate it on that level, saying like, oh, okay, you'll look like you've done research and very scholarly, and then all of a sudden you have that, I'm sorry, what did you just say moment? And the other thing about the Halloween, which is why we'll talk about the satanic cults too, is just that they were referencing this, and that the time that these videos were produced was just around the end, the tail end of the whole satanic ritual abuse hysteria that even has its own acronym, SRA. It's an acronym for understanding a phenomenon that happened in the 80s and the 90s. First, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Halloween first?
Sure.
All right. Here's a couple of things that I found interesting about Halloween when I was doing some research on it. Remember that whole, more research needed? All right, you're getting it. You're getting the more research. I wanted to kind of understand, all right, what parts of that documentary are being accurate about the celebration, and what parts are they not being accurate? What did they not say?
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned the Celtic festival, Samhain, which is what I was telling you about before. That means summer's end, and that's what the Celts used to celebrate. So right around the time that it's harvest, what does the end of summer mean? Shorter days, longer nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there tended to be kind of also more of a death. I don't want to say there was an element of death in it, because life around you starts to die. The leaves fall. You know, lots of animals are perishing. Your crops are dying. It's fucking winter, man. Winter is a time of death. It's the same reason why spring is a metaphor for rebirth. And you'll find that every single fucking cult that has some messianic figure, guess when he's reborn? Fucking springtime, when life comes anew. Anyways. Back to this whole summer's end festival. What happened is that there's this holiday called All Saints Day. Well, actually, it's two holidays back to back. It's All Saints Day and All Souls Day. It's these 2 days where people celebrate, one, the beautification of souls. That's when souls go up to heaven and see God.
The beautifications of, like, so this is where everybody that's dead, that are in heaven right now, That's the day they get to see God?
Well, this is the day you celebrate them being able to have that connection with God.
Okay, so they always get that connection with God, but this is just like, woohoo!
Right, well, this is to commemorate the saints that were able to do that. All Souls Day, the following day, is almost like a lamentation to all the souls that have not been able to reach that. So they haven't repented or they haven't purified themselves. Because, you know, there are purgatory-like elements in Christianity, so souls can rise, you know, if they're in that middle zone or whatever. So All Souls Day is kind of a way for people to pray for those missing souls, and please go to the magical super light buzz that you're going to get once you connect with God, because it's going to be like a gigantic orgy all day that you're staring at. Because, you know, in Christian religion, they're like, you can't see God. He's invisible. Remember that line? That line is directly from that Jeremiah film where they're debating about Mormonism and saying, they're talking about Joseph Smith seeing the live God. It's like, he's invisible. It's ridiculous.
Our Bible clearly states that God is invisible. Therefore, the Mormons are evil.
They're wrong and evil and occult. So, yes, the beatific visions is what they celebrate. So All Souls Day, like I mentioned, it's kind of like it deals with the dead. Now, here's the thing. All Saints Day and All Souls Day celebrated in the 1st of November, but before then, it actually used to have another day where people used to kind of celebrate those, or like the more occultic dark death version of this day was on May the 13th. And what May the 13th was, it was a Roman festival, the Feast of the Lemurs. The Feast of the Lemurs. Not like those little monkeys there. No. But it's not the same way. So anyways, lemurs are vengeful spirits and evil spirits. And so the Feast of the Lemurs is meant to kind of to try to excise ghosts from people's homes. That was what the whole purpose was. You had a big party. You lit all these things on fire. You threw black beans over your shoulder. You know, whatever. They like the whole shoulder throwing, stupid superstition bullshit. So that was on May 13th. So they had this feast. So the Catholic Church, being the smart motherfuckers that they are, decide, let's put a day there that we can replace this Feast of the Lemurs, which is essentially a pagan holiday.
Mm-hmm.
With all these superstitious element, this occultist element of exercising things. That's our business. And they succeed. The holiday basically goes out of favor. Nobody fucking remembers it. It's gone. So try number two now is this Celtic business in and around the October. So they share kind of common elements because the lemurs were, you know, it's kind of like a... deals with death and those kinds of elements. So it has the same, I guess it's the same tactic. You're like, okay, well, we have the same celebration practically, except for theirs is sort of more towards the end of the or the start of the fall. So you have All Saints Day being moved there. And then it gets reference to All Hallows Eve, I think in the 16th century, and it later becomes Halloween. And all the traditions that you have at Halloween are all these Celtic traditions. Like they used to carve turnips, and they'd carve like skulls and stuff like that to ward off the dead. And pumpkins just were easier because they got that big hollow part in the middle, right? Rather than a turnip, it's like solid. I mean, you got to sculpt that fucking beast. It's a turnip, man. Fuck that shit. Pumpkins are like, they're made for carving. Anybody who's done, if you've ever seen some of the pumpkin jobs, I mean, there's some pretty fucking seriously awesome pumpkin carvings. Like some people make their living doing that shit, and they're so fucking amazing. So yeah, all of those traditions are essentially the parts that stayed, because I feel that to some degree, the All Saints Day move number two did not do what the first move did. It didn't eliminate this tradition. It kind of took over, secularized, and now it's like, now it's completely not religious. And the funny thing is that religious people are freaked the fuck out by these pagan elements that have stayed, and they're always freaked out whenever they're these pagan things that have not been properly incorporated in their own religion. We're just like, this is witchcraft and this is evil. Remember the dude they had a guy who was claiming that he was in a satanic cult, and then he had been kidnapped, and forcibly wed, and then he had to kill a girl in a satanic ritual.
He had to kill a baby, wasn't it? Was it a baby?
It was a young girl. Okay, that's how he referred to her. He's saying, the young girl. And saying that at Halloween, this kind of thing is happening all the time, where it's just a conspiracy by Satanists to essentially whitewash the real things that are going on, the crazy occult things that happen at Halloween.
Yeah, it was quite ridiculous.
I like how the whole thing about this I guess will segue further into Satanism. I'm sure we'll come back to Halloween, but this fear that was just kind of created has its a lot of roots. Specifically, the whole satanic scare has a huge roots in the kind of fear that parents have typically about children. Because it was centered really around children almost entirely. Like whenever they said there were sacrifices, did you notice that they were always saying they're babies and they're children? That was the fucking core message here.
Yeah. And wasn't part of that, though, the whole idea that they were people secretly having these babies, off-the-book babies, so that you could be sacrificing them and there's no missing babies, you know? No thousands of dead babies reported missing.
Well, that was the way they try to explain it. How could so many people be involved in rituals without anybody else realizing it? Because it is surprisingly hard to just be that invisible in today's society. It's just not really realistic. Which is why whenever you scratch at the surface of this satanic cult hysteria, you find that there wasn't really much to it. You know, when it really started was actually in 1980, in the early 1980s, there's a book that came out called Michelle Remembers. And this book was written by this Canadian guy called Lawrence Pazder, okay? And supposedly Lawrence had Michelle Smith as a patient, and he had, I guess she was suffering some kind of depression after a stillbirth. So during one of the sessions, she suddenly regressed, quote-unquote, to a state of a five-year-old, and started recanting, saying that she had these things that she wanted to say but couldn't quite remember. And so he basically invents a kind of regression therapy where he culls memories that are supposedly so repressed that the person can't remember it. And the story that she comes up with, ultimately, is the story that in Victoria, B.C., there was a satanic ritual that took 80 days, or more than 80 days, and after that ritual, they were invoking Satan, and eventually Jesus, right, and the Virgin Mary had to come in and stop the whole thing, and this was labeled as actually having happened.
So he discovered that they summoned the devil in B.C.?
This is what he claims. So he creates this hysteria that there are these satanic cults, because he sells this as real. He says this is an autobiography of this woman detailing what happened. And part of the story is that, and the reason why Jesus is also involved is because he removes all the physical evidence of this supposed, you know, because she was raped and abused. So he removes all this physical evidence and removes the memory of it in order for it to be revealed at some later time, which is obviously when this man needs to write a book. Mm-hmm. That sells extremely well. And even though locally the newspapers have come out, because it's Victoria, so it's not that huge of a place, the book seems to do incredibly well, because it seems to kind of speak to a secret panic that kids have. Your children are being kidnapped and ritualistically slaughtered. And you wonder, hey, where does that kind of fear come from? And you're like, actually, it has a long history. Okay, specifically in the Christian world. Jewish blood libel, does that sound familiar to anybody? If you don't know what that is, do a little search on blood libel, this belief that Jews steal Christian babies and use their blood because apparently Jewish babies are born with their hands sewed to their forehead, so they need to use Christian blood to unglue it. They also apparently would have sores and boils if it wasn't for the fact that they bathed themselves in Christian blood. These were said to be facts, okay? This is the kind of propaganda that would pop up every once in a while, especially during the 16th and 17th century, where just fear and mass panic was created, and these wild allegations suddenly start popping up. This person or this Jew has kidnapped a baby from somewhere, and all of a sudden, like, I think on one particular instance, I forget what date, there was like something like 6,000 Jews that were killed just because there had been accusations that they had desecrated a Eucharist. They had found out that Jesus' body was part of the Eucharist because it later became part of the church doctrine that his body would become, like the cracker was essentially his body. That wasn't until, I think, the 11th century that they decided that. So after that, they had this fear that Jews were stealing it so that they could do more harm to Jesus.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. So this is nothing more than witch hunts. I mean, the Inquisition speaks entirely of this kind of thing, right, where you just create fear that women, particularly ugly, widowed, or mentally unstable women, are going around, they're causing crops to fail, thunderstorms, again, more like babies being kidnapped, and of course they invent these insane procedures and tortures, no-win situations to interview people and to figure out whether or not they're witches. And what's funny, too, is that in the situation of the regression therapy, it's a no-win situation because what happens is that during regression therapy, it's a form of hypnosis. And hypnosis, as anybody who's ever done it, understands that it's just merely fantasy. It's not you controlling somebody. It's just you fantasizing with someone else. And once you kind of like let yourself get fantasized with, the person can control the fantasies that you're having and in essence implant memories that never really existed from calling like certain information from, you know, just during the session. He will say something like, for instance, let's say they'll say, was there a man in the room?
Mm-hmm.
That implies so much, the fact that you're implying there was a man in the room, in which people usually feel the need to say yes, because again, you're fantasizing with someone. The question is not a question, it's a fucking statement. It is describing to you what is happening while you're doing this. But the crazy thing about this whole hysteria that started, like essentially this regression therapy began, there was this huge, there was this trial that happened where this preschool was, in 1983, this preschool was, there's accusations from this mother. I think her name was Judy Johnson. She accused one of the or two of the people that worked at the McMartin preschool that she had they had sexually abused her boy because he was having like problems with bowel movements and that kind of stuff.
So because he had like
constipation, yeah, constipation. She assumed that they had been abused. And get this, the police, once they hear that and having no physical evidence whatsoever, draft a memo that they sent to every single parent of that school saying that here's what the allegations are, here are specific details of what the crime was like. Please ask your children if they're inappropriately touched and all this other kind of stuff. The leading information that you just can't give to someone, you know what I mean? Like you've already tainted any potential partiality because people are now aware of what the allegations are. And what happened is that there was a huge amount of kids that just certainly started coming forward saying like, oh yes, I was molested as well. And while the parents were coaching them and even sort of like saying where kids have come forward later were saying, I felt so much pressure from my parents to say that these happened even though I was embarrassed that I was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody went apeshit. This trial lasted almost a decade. It cost $15 million fucking dollars. It was one of the most expensive trials in American history. And for what? For a crazy fear propaganda that was created. They even asked that writer guy of Michelle Remembers, they brought him on as an expert.
In the trial?
In the trial at that for the preschool. They brought him as an expert. An expert in what? Like a crazy ass liar. And what happens? Like it was insanity. Like you had, as soon as this hit and they were found not, like everybody that was accused was found not guilty because, you know, people, the jury realized that this was all
ridiculous.
Bullshit and ridiculous. But it didn't matter because everybody was still divided. I was reading a New York Times article written in 1990 talking about the end of the trial, lamenting the fact and saying, well, I don't know if the allegations are true, but this is just sad day that all this money didn't go and there were no prosecutions. And meanwhile, you're like, what? No prosecutions? The fact that even this was brought to trial is just so insane. It just represents just a way that fear is created and catches on to hysterical and wild proportions.
Yep, it's we never realize when we're being irrational monkeys, which is why I always think you have to pay really close attention to everything that you're doing to make sure you're not just being a hysterical monkey about it.
Man, it was what really kind of made me think about that, though, was going back to the film, the evangelical movie that we were watching. Because the fear and the hysteria was really created initially by the religious evangelicals. I mean, even Pazder and that Michelle Smith, they went to the Vatican to consult to find out what was going on, because they thought, you know, something supernatural was happening, that these were real Satanists that were involved in this. So she believed in it.
These people really believed.
They really fucking believed, and there's that religious element that explains it. I mean, even Pazder tried to insinuate that the Church of Satan was responsible for it, but of course he was sued for potential libel, so he decided not to name the Church of Satan, because it is an actual church. It's the most milquetoast church you've ever heard in your life. They're basically, what's what I'm looking for? Satanists are narcissists. It's probably the best way to describe it. They're narcissists. Everything is centered around narcissism. Self-gratification. That's all it is. No evil. Just they pretty much take the whole lust element that's a sin and be like, nah, it's not a sin.
There are no, like, cool, you know, like a theatrical presentation of a Satanist.
Yeah, you would imagine something that they... Well, they don't do anything interesting. That's the other problem, too. I mean, everything that they were always accused of doing sounded bloody interesting. Crazy rituals and slaughtering goats and shit like that on altars. Not unlike the kind of rituals that you see in Haiti, but that's another thing altogether. These rituals still happen all over the place, by the way. real similar rituals. And I always love the way that the Christians paint this as sort of like, this is evil and dark, when they're talking about blood sacrifice and that kind of stuff.
Meanwhile, they're drinking the blood and body of Christ.
I know. Eat the body and drink of the blood. But this is just normal. It's only wine. But it's not really wine, though. It's Jesus' blood. Wait a minute. You're accusing these people of having a blood atonement fetish, and meanwhile, you're the biggest fetishists of them all when it comes to blood atonement. You practically have a giant boner about it.
The Jews had to squeeze Jesus' blood out of his body to atone for our sins.
Oh, yeah, there's another one, eh? Blood libel. Obsession with blood. You tend to see it as
only
a common phenomenon.
That blood. Only through that blood.
Well, you remember the Mormon part of it, where they were really quite mad that there was a blood atonement part to Mormonism, where they don't really believe that Jesus' blood is enough, and once in a while they're like, the blood of these sinners must also be shed, which is the fundamentalist part of Mormonism that doesn't get talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But you can read about it if you ever read John Krakauer's Under the Banner of Heaven, an excellent summary of fundamentalism, the history of fundamentalism in U.S. and Canada, because they're completely intertwined. But nevertheless, when they're talking about saying, like, when they're having the discussion about why Mormonism is evil, they're always doing it, the funniest parts are always when they're talking about in theological grounds, where they're like, but Jesus said clearly that only his blood libel. They are mad. They are mad to think that the blood atonement somehow is compatible with the sacrifice of Jesus. Unbelievable.
They don't fully appreciate the power of Jesus' blood.
And there's also something I quite love about one religious faith attacking another faith, as saying they're terrifying dogma, because it's hilarious the way that it can be twisted either on either side.
Oh man, you got to be afraid of any. I feel bad for any religion that is so young that you could trace the beginning. Like you can go back and look at the beginning and realize what fucking scammers, liars, and just ass faces.
Oh, well, Joseph Smith is a perfect example of a scamming piece of shit. I mean, arrested for fraud. He was one of those soothsayers. You know, he was using a divination to try to find gold and silver, and that's what he was basically indicted for fraud, where he would say, oh, yeah, this gold mine is full of gold. These little stones told me this. What a scamming piece of shit. He's an unbelievable scam artist. You will find that is a common theme among the people who start all religions. It's like, wow, a scammer? Who knew? Who knew? You mean he didn't do it for good reasons? I always get a kick out of the fact that people take something that a scammer creates, and then they try to appropriate it, take out the elements that they don't agree with, and then try to say, well, this is good. This has given me purpose, and I've taken all the good stuff. And you're just like, yeah, okay. The other stuff's still attached to it.
And it's still bullshit.
It's still bullshit. It's still 100% bullshit. Just because it makes you feel good and works for you doesn't mean it's right or true. Has anybody ever considered that? Why is there always... There was a study that came out recently said that religious people were happier in general, more satisfied than their non-religious counterparts. And they were just trying to say, well, that must mean that religion causes happiness. And you know, when I read that, I said, you could probably look at it the other way of saying, when you're the most despised fucking minority in the world, and you're around nothing but religionists who drive you crazy, maybe your happiness level is going to be a little low as well. Because people tend to, you know, the majority tend to have a real big problem with minorities. Hey, let's go around and ask racial minorities if they're just as happy as their white counterparts. I bet you there'd be small discrepancies there too, because it sometimes sucks.
But you know what? I bet you anything, the most miserable people at all are us white people.
Well, in terms of in the world, unless if you discount nations that are at war currently or have famines,
you would be surprised. Even in those ass countries,
I know people are still happier
than
us.
People are happy.
I know. People can't. We haven't figured out the secret to happiness yet. Here, we figured out the secret to consumption. We're pretty good about that.
Yep.
And sometimes consumption can make you happy for a short little while. It feels good when you have something new, and it's sexy, and it's slick, and it's fucking working the way it should, and you feel awesome, and then you get bored of it, and then you move on. People with nothing tend to kind of find joy in other things. That's what's amazing about them. Mm-hmm. So, the day where you live in that whole apocalyptic hell where you're essentially eating dirt and whatever, rejoice in the fact that you can still find happiness in that world, since other people live in it. And they seem to be doing okay.
And you'll find a can of peaches or something like that. It'll be like Christmas.
It will fucking make your day. You won't even know. You don't even know. Looking forward to that future.
And then the maulers will roll up in their motorcycles and kill you all. But you'll have had that moment of happiness, even in that wasteland.
Yep. They'll steal all the precious things off of you and get away with your woman.
They might even eat your body.
We watch too many dystopias. I think that's what... Maybe we're heavily influenced by a new hysteria about the future. Hey, hysterias happen, man. They happen all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a lot of fear-mongering to do it. You can always tell, too, if there's going to be hysteria bound when people start throwing really, really provocative accusations. You should probably watch Fox News and see this, what I'm talking about here, where you're accusing, say, when they accuse the Daily Show guys with their rally, when one woman on Fox News said that people were being taken at gunpoint. That's outrageous. That's just outrageous. But those are the kinds of statements that you can expect. Well, because statements still have power.
The big hysteria that we see right now is over even just terms like socialism. That's like a fucking hysteria, man. They're winding people up. And the intelligentsia, the snobbery towards intelligent people, that's a fucking hysteria.
Yeah,
anti-immigration, that's hysteria.
It's so funny because, you know, I hate drawing parallels because it's so easy to do that when you're talking about the rise of fascism in Germany around the 1930s. Mm. But when you really think about it, they're just too striking. They're really too striking, where you have the strong collusion of business with government, where you have a distrust of intelligence or culture, where you have a complete and utter hatred of socialism. You know, it's kind of frightening, just a little bit. And today, November 2nd, when Americans went to the polls, I'm assuming it's starting to get to by the time we finish recording this and putting it up, it'll be over practically.
No. Apparently it's going on until the wee hours.
Is it?
Yeah, anytime it's close. You know what I mean? So many places are going like practically 50-50, so it takes a while to count everything properly.
I'm not looking forward to the aftermath.
Because, I don't care. Maybe what the country needs is both just gridlock for a while. Who knows?
I care because I need America to do well in order for us to do well. 70% of all our patrons come from the U.S. Yeah. 70%. I mean, I need you guys to prosper, for God's sakes. when you have fans being like, I would love to donate $20 a year, but I can't afford that. And I believe them.
Yep.
And that's just sad. You're like, wow, $20 a year, and that seems like a lot. I mean, do you remember a time where that was just a joke before your middle class got nuked? $20 a year wouldn't have seemed like a lot, but I guess in the days where it's a luxury, it's a luxury. So hopefully, please tell me, anybody that's listening to the show, that you went and voted. Because if you didn't go vote for whatever fucking reason, I will be very disappointed in you.
Well, you know, it is cold outside.
It's not cold everywhere. And you just should have.
It's cold in a lot of places.
You just should have. This year was just probably the scariest year I've ever seen, like, candidates. In the history of the United States, in terms of terrible political candidates that had a serious chance of winning, I've never seen it that bad. And I've studied quite a bit of American politics. The only time it was even something close to that bad was in the 1920s and during Harding's administration. He's the one that that had the brilliance to pass through the prohibition. That worked out real good for the country. That was a really fucking slam dunk idea. So, yeah, that's what incompetence gets you. And I'm so frightened for you guys. I really am. I am so scared. I'm scared for people living in Arizona. I'm scared for people in Delaware. I'm scared for people all over the place. Just saying, if you didn't go vote, man, if you didn't go vote, I'm so mad at you. Just right now. So mad. Okay, you know what? I think we'll call that a show. Remind everybody that we have a bonus show for for Thursday. And we'd like to thank everybody that's donated or are planning on donating. Remember, it's $20 a year. I want to just stress that out because a lot of people assume that it's like a month or something.
Yeah, you no longer do that cup of coffee thing.
I told you it was a good idea. All right, it literally works out to $1.67 a month. Factor that in your brain, and then there's no problem.
It's like you can't even really buy anything with $1.67 anymore.
Actually, you really can't. You nope. Really, really can't.
You can afford this. You can afford a podcast.
You can afford 4 shows a month for 12 months.
Now, break that down for fucking show. Get right into
it's like
the
40 cents about
40
per
cents
show,
per show.
Per show. So it's cheaper than what people have to pay for. But, you know, obviously, the quality of like a...
You know what? It sounded like a better value at the per month, the 40 cents a show thing still. It's like,
still seems kind of high.
Well, as soon as you even put like a penny on a podcast...
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's 40 cents if you don't count the whole backlog of shows that already exist that you can listen to. So every single show, that adds value. So actually now it's more like 20 cents since there's almost 70 shows for you to go listen if you join right now.
Yeah, the backlog shows, I keep forgetting. Those are always good, especially if you're going to like drive to fucking Florida or something with some buddies.
Well, there was a fan
or with... non-buddies.
Well, there was a fan who recently became a member because he's like, I'm traveling to Turkey. And I don't even think he knows if he can get a lot of atheist-like news or stuff like that.
Man, they catch that with that on his MP3 player?
Oh, man. I hope you don't get flogged. Just I'll abbreviate everything. I'll just put TGA on everything so you never get flogged if you bring your MP3s to a different country that can't tolerate your unbelief. My name is Jacob Fortan.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.